Okay. Hello. Morning. Morning, everybody. How was your night? Nice. Okay. Ayer puto guache, tuhna nainti ti se hire, amua kaikan dios pu, tiu tawaka, puto utehmua, uichana kapa. Kaputi tuhme, silo nyukari hume. Aupuka, puto hapa, ta uichana ka. Ahmiem, kuando tuhkai, shume he tita utaka. Aru uichana ka, kapu shume he tita utaka. Aine, te tuhene, ihi me te usei. Kapushuru tyohu kiye, kamu mahta titen me ruri, ye moate me te ose. Ahta kapu me he haatu, vichana kapu, ahta kapu me he titautaka. Kapu te tyhene, ihi me te ose. Ai papu me te ose, ene. Naimipu tyo tawaka, hautu, hautuna, naihapu, ayepu, ayepu dios. Tio tawaka, naimi, iye nchana kahapo. Did you understand? It was the Kora language. So, as you, some of you probably already know, we are missionaries, I and my family. We have five kids, three boys and two girls. So, we live in Nayarit, Mexico. Do you know where it is? It's in the southwest from here, from Mexico, from the border. It's in the Pacific coast, and we live in a very tropical area. It's very hot. It's more humid than here. It's if you go there by this time, from June to till August till October, you will be sweating all the time. And even if you're sitting in a chair doing nothing, you will be sweating all the time, all the day long, 24 hours, 7 days a week. But I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying, telling you how it's there. So we have beautiful landscapes down there in Mexico. Jean and his wife and also his sister Cindy, probably some of you met Cindy. And they went there last March, last March, and they just had a little, taste or proof of the weather, but it wasn't so hot. But anyway, we said in where we live, it's hot, more hot, and like hell. So, but it's a blessing being there because we have learned a lot of things living there. God has been showing us a lot of things. One of them is living by faith is the first thing all of us we must learn. All we must live by faith. And I would like to share something about that. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And I will use a tape recorder because I want to be more, how can I say it, more good in English. So I will follow my own recording. So in order for you to understand better what I want to say and communicate with you. But let's pray first of all. Father, I'm very thankful to be here with these amazing guys, with these amazing folks. You are such a great God. Yes, you have been so graceful towards us. And I give you thank you. Thanks for all you have done for us. And I give thanks for all the young people here and all the youth campers here. And I pray that this day, this hour, we can learn something from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I started to share something from Hebrews, I would just like to say that we are in Nayarit learning the Goro language, and I am right now in the process of being the process to get done with the language. I mean, I will graduate from the language acquisition, and we are also learning the culture from the Kora people, and we would like to make a Bible translation, the New Testament, and some verses from the Old Testament, just some of the most important verses, in order to make Bible lessons, evangelistic lessons for the Kora people. And we have folks, we have a team. They are another couple. They have three kids. They are Edwin and America Coronado. And just yesterday, by the night, Jean and other guys here visited us at the house you rented for us, and just share with them the desire to have a bilingual church, because most of the young people don't speak Kora anymore. So, but their hearts are still being like Kora. Their beliefs still there in their hearts and in their minds. So, you can pray for us. I want to be more focused in Bible translation and the ministry with those that will not understand some deeper things or deeper teachings from the Bible in the Kora language. And we would like Edwin and America taking more responsibility with the Spanish speakers there, Kora Spanish speakers. And we would like them to know very well the culture in order for them to be more clear with Bible lessons, and I can hear what he's teaching, and I can talk to the old people and just see if what he's saying is getting their hearts. Yeah. So, but now let's go to take your Bibles and go to the book and of Hebrews chapter 11. As I said, we all must live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Some of you knew what happened while we were driving up here. So the last 2 years has been just the same in many ways. Seems like God is very interested in keep us living by faith more. And I think it's because he wants us to be more prepared to share with the Korah people the gospel and other truths from the Bible, you know. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, then, men of old gain approval. The King James Version says that the faith is the substance. Substance. This pulpit is substance, you know. But love is not substance. It's not substance. It's not made of atoms. It's not made of a, you know, it's not something you can feel or see or touch. But the faith is the substance of things hope for. And in the chapter 11, in the last verses, the writer encouraged us to stay in the faith, to not depart from the faith, to stay with Jesus. And verse 2 says, For by it, then men of all gain approval or a good report. So, God make a good report of those people that live by faith. So, what is doing the writer here, he put a bracket in here. He has been all the book of Hebrews trying to encourage us to live by faith. But now he will explain the nature of the faith. You know what I mean? Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things which are visible. So in our life, in the process of living by faith, we must know what is the nature of faith. The faith is substance. Of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen as yet.
Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Now, Abel is dead, and he still speaks. How is it? Well, I am not that smart to explain it, but I just believe what the Word of God says as it is written. So, if we want to stand in a truth, we must to say what the Bible says, because otherwise we can go for different ways saying what is not true, what is, you know, and I could be lying to you if I start making definitions, extra Bible, biblical definitions. So, is grace a substance? Is it? No, it's not. It's not a substance. It's not made of atoms. Hate, greed, is that a substance? Compassion, is not a substance. When I was in the junior school, I was like 14 years old, and I used to walk like a mile, and in order to ride a city bus for going to school, and for the rainy season. Sometimes it was hard to get there to the bus station, because most of the time where I grew up is raining by September, October and November. So our city bus is there just on time. Every 5 minutes, you can go there and stay there, and wait for the bus. And but one day, I remember that day very clear. One day it was raining a lot, and in the bus station, there wasn't a roof or something you can cover from the rain. So I stayed a little bit far from the bus station, and I waited there, just watching my watch, and I knew that just in 5 more minutes, a bus will be there. So I had to wait in that place sometimes while raining, because I can't cover from the rain. But one day when it was raining so hard, so a lot, I stay there just covering from the rain. And then, watching my watch, I just said, well, in 15 In 40 seconds, the bus will be there. So then I started running, going to the bus station. There was another people beside me, and they were like, "What are you doing? It's raining. And you don't know if the bus is coming right now." And I said, "No, the bus will be there. Will be there on time." So I just run to the bus station. They stay there, and just in time, I just have to wait 15 seconds there, and then the bus just got there. And the bus stopped just in front of me. And then I can ride to the school on it. So while I was waiting for the bus, I have faith in the bus coming on time. So, like I said, faith is the substance. So it's interesting because it's like faith is based on reality. It's based on the reality of God, of His promises. Faith is based on promises. Faith is not based on what I want to build in my mind or build in some way. So, while I was waiting for the bus, faith was an anticipation on the bus coming on time, just right in the place where I just run. I just was waiting for the fulfillment of the bus getting there on time. So there was a promise from the government for the bus city to stay in every station every 5 minutes on time. So faith is based on reality. Faith is based on promises, on God's promises. And all the time we are being missionaries down there in Mexico, you know, we all have to believe by faith, as I said, already said. But sometimes when you are in the front line of the battle, get just as much as you are close to God's heart and what He wants, He will prove your faith through different means. And we can't make a promise or we can't invent a promise. So all the time we were living in Presidio, which is the name of the village where we live, we had been living through many different situations and sickness, lack of support, and different things. But this passage has been such a blessing to me because I have to keep my mind and my heart on God's promises, that He will do something to help me being there, to help my family being there and live by faith, no matter what will be happening. It doesn't mean that everything will be okay, that everything will be just like, if I have faith, I can't, doing this to God, like, you must do this because I have faith. So, yeah, that. So the promise of a coming bus stimulated my faith to stand there and in that place in order to wait for the bus and hope. It was an expectation of arriving for the coming bus. Patience was what I was experienced there in the process of waiting for the bus coming on time. So that's faith, hope, and patience. Sometimes we use the word hope, like, I hope it happens. But the way the Bible uses hope is not like we use that word today. Hope is a reality. We're just waiting for a promise to be fulfilled in our lives. So, as young men, it's a really good thing to starting to, young people, to starting to keep on mind, because Christian life is just all about that, living by faith. The righteous will live by faith. The just will live by faith. And everything we will have experienced today, tomorrow, or what we'll experience tomorrow, we will must go living by faith. When I stood in the roof waiting for the bus coming, a person said, well, I hope the bus come. But then I said, no, it will be there, because there is a promise from the government that every 5 minutes the bus will be there. And it's the same with God. And even more, he's very faithful on his promises. Just right on time. Not before, not later, but just right on time. And we can trust on his promises. We don't go in the Christian life like saying, I hope God fulfills his promise in my life. It doesn't mean like when he said, I will give it to you what you need, and that it means that you will have all what you want, but he will give you what you need right in the moment that he knows you will need it. And it's for all of us, I am not just telling you that you must live by faith, it's just for all of us. Some people used to say, I just believe it, something will happen. But that's not Bible faith. It's not the Bible. It's not how the Bible describes faith. that something coming out of me, out of my desire, out of my need, out of my want to, that is not what Bible faith, that is not Bible hope, that is not Bible patience. So it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, we already have a problem here. Faith is the evidence, wait a minute. In faith, if we don't have the evidence to go on, I mean, it's just turned like reverse, you know? Reverse on what faith is. Faith is substance, and faith is evidence. Evidence of things hoped for. Not seen as yet. No, wait a minute. Again. Were you there when the time take place? Did you see anything? Now, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What would you testify about something you didn't see? You didn't. You're not a witness of what happened here. And you can say, "Well, I don't know. I just came here to testify something about. I don't know." But faith is not like that. Bible faith is based on reality. Faith is based on God's promises. And God always fulfills His promises. He always will do. Faith is the evidence of things not seen as yet. If nothing is seen, what kind of evidence we have? What are we hoping for? Where is the substance of our faith? Show it to me, good people say, or ask us. I'm sorry, we can say, I'm sorry, I can't prove it to you. Faith is the substance, again, of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen as yet. That is one strange definition of faith, isn't it? Now the rest of the chapter is to explain the definition of faith. That faith is substance and faith is evidence. You see, without substance and evidence, without substance and evidence, you can't have faith. Otherwise, it's incredulity. Genuine Bible faith is based on reality. And without reality, we are just guessing and hopers. So we must have a reality. Especially me, I do. I am not a religious person, and I am a skeptic, and I doubt many people about what they are saying. I'm a bit cynical sometimes, And if someone wanted me to believe something, he had to show me a little bit of evidence. It doesn't mean that I some real good evidence. And it does not mean that I have to see the evidence. You know? I believe my wife most of the time. For me to have faith, I've got to have some evidence. And that, as I said, it doesn't mean that I have to see things in order to have faith, in order to believe other people or other, what are they saying. But I have to have sufficient evidence to believe that thing. Otherwise, I'm going to wait. You know, I'm waiting on it and being patient. I can't be patient. I have difficulty on a deer to come. You know? I just can't wait on a deer to come. How much time do I have? 20 minutes, okay. When I am waiting for... one time I went to La Sierra Tarahumara in Mexico, down there in Mexico, and we were trying to hunt a deer. But I am not as patient as that, or waiting for a deer to come. I don't know if there is something in the woods. So, you know, and that time we just can't see any deers around us, and we didn't hunt anything. Verse 2, for by it man obtain a good report. The elders, he's talking about all the people from the Old Testament, believers from the Old Testament. He said, through the exercise of faith of those elders, through the patience that came out of that faith, these elders obtained a good report. That is, God had something good to say about them, you know. The people out there of generation have something good to say about them. God recorded their stories, and in order to say something good about them, and that's what the chapter 11 of Hebrews is all about, you know? Explaining the nature of faith with many examples of with some people like Abraham, Abel, and Enoch, Noah, you know. And we all know that they sometimes committed mistakes, you know. But there was times when they lived by faith. And that's what God wants us to show us here. That we all can live by faith. is not that they were such a special people, but it's to show us that they were normal people, regular people like us, and they lived by faith. This chapter is to encourage us that we also can live by faith like them. You know? So, we could obtain a good report from God. We just must trust Him. Follow His voice every day, day after day, every minute, minute by minute, day after day. Because of the faith of those men, those elders, it was not because of their works, what were they doing? It was because of their faith. You know, they obtained a good report because of their faith, not because of their work. And sometimes we want to exalt some people because of their works and make a good report because of their works. But God is completely the opposite. He wants us living by faith. And He make it a good report about all those elders because they live by faith. So, He's exalting their faith. They trust God. They believe God. And that's what God loves from us. That we believe Him no matter what is happening in our lives. It's not because of the fruit of our faith that we could obtain a good report. It's just the act of faith that we could obtain a good report. In other words, the experience, living and the beauty of believing, that could create a good report for us. You get more from this. Just wait on it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. So that is seen was not made of things which are visible. He's going to talk about us and the elders in the next many verses. But here, he does something a little bit. Here in verse 3, he talks about God. God created the heavens and the earth. How did He do it? He did it by faith. He really did. He walked up on the edge of, and He said, there be light, and there was light. He had a vision of what He wanted to come about. Faith was a substance based on what? On the reality of His power. You know? For God spoke, and from nothing ex nihilo came something. So then the things which are made were not made from things which do appear. Now, I make furniture sometimes. I made rocking chairs, different things. I build cabinet maker. I wear my this. But God did everything from nothing. And He did it by faith. He knew that He have the power to create all the world, all the universe. He did it by faith. We can make anything from nothing. We just make things from previously existing materials. When Jesus created the worlds, He made that which was now seen out of nothing, which was not seen previously, would not previously exist. It was out of nothing. Now, that principle is the basis of faith. Faith, to be faith, must be based on the unseen. Not in the unknown, but in the unseen. Not something we guess had. We have evidence. And the evidence is in the promise alone. The evidence not in seeing any reality. The evidence is not in some partial fulfillment of the faith. The evidence is in the promise alone. And the evidence, the promise, becomes a sufficient basis, sufficient substance for us to believe what God says and begin to anticipate the fulfillment so that out of nothing will come something. So with our nothing which is already seen, will in time come that which is seen. That's the nature of faith. You will get clear. So, verse 4, an illustration. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Now, Abel did something because of his faith, and it was more excellent. Again, God is focused on faith, not in what Abel did, but in his faith. Because it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. And sometimes we want to offer God something in order to please Him, in order to obtain a good report. But what God wants from us is to have faith in Him. And faith is the highest way to praise God. It's the highest way to praise God. Works are not the highest way to praise God. Faith is the way, the better way to praise God, to believe Him, to trust Him, to follow Him. We said, like, walking with our eyes closed, just like feeling Him and following Him, leading us where we will go. No, not there, there. Okay, now go straight. And we must trust God every moment. Because in doing that, we will praise God in the highest way. It's not about what we were, clothes, hair. If we read our Bibles every day, it's a good thing. I have nothing against that. But the highest way to praise God is living by faith. So what was it that Abel did when the realization and sinfulness came over Cain and Abel? They felt a need to offer some sacrifice to God and function on their own as their own priest. And they both offered a sacrifice to God. But there was difference in both sacrifices. Cain had also faith, but he had faith in his works, not in God. And it was the difference. And actually, the blood of the animal that Abel killed did nothing on his behavior. It was his faith. Let me end with this. Verse 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him diligently. Again. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible. It's not because of what we are doing. I'm a missionary. And it's a good thing. But whatever we are doing today, if we're students or fireworkers or a mechanic, or if you work in construction, if we really want to praise God, we must live by faith. There is no other way for us to live. There is no other way to praise Him, just by faith. Because otherwise it will be impossible. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And all these years, we have to realize that we must live by faith. Because God is all the time pushing us to that, to live by faith. We have to be very sensitive to His voice, what we want from us. Because if we really want to praise God, if we really want to obtain a good report from Him, we must believe by faith. It's not about reading your Bible 5 or 7 days at the day. It's good. It's really good. But in doing this, it must be by faith. If we go to work for whatever we do, must be by faith. And living by faith will make our lives easier in many ways. Because God will be leading in the perfect way, in the right way. And we can't be wrong following Him by faith. We can't make mistakes. We really can't make mistakes if we are following Him by faith. So, I would like to encourage all of us to live by faith. Because faith is the substance and the evidence of things not seen as yet. We didn't see God yet. Are we? No. But He is real. And our faith is based on a reality. That God made everything from nothing. That God is right here in this moment, trying to say something to all of us. We're not seeing Him, but we know by faith that He is real. We just have to trust Him. We just have to believe Him. What He said in His Word. He said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we have two options. Just two options. He said, will I believe Him? Or I will do not believe Him. Believe Him. So, we have evidence in this world. Trees, birds, the sun, the sky, moon. And we have also promises being fulfilled in our lives. We have evidence in different ways. Psalm 19 says that the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. So we have evidence. Our faith is based on reality. So keep it in mind and let's praise God with our lives, living by faith, trusting Him, just trusting Him. Sometimes we can see things very clearly. But if He's telling us to do something, just do it. And on His time, we will see what is not seen yet. Because He's faithful to fulfill His promises. Let's pray. Thank You, God, for these people here. We recognize the need to live by faith. I am not a superhero or something special. I am not telling that. I am so faithful. But I would like to live by faith on your promises. We can't make a promise. Your promises are written down in your Bible, in your Word. And that's what we must follow, your promises. We can't get a promise from God, from you, just because we want it, just because we want something to be fulfilled. We must go to your, to read your word and see what are your promises written down, and just wait on these promises being fulfilled. If you say something, just say, Lord, I trust you. I believe you. Just do it at the time you know I need to see the fulfillment of that promise. And I pray for all these people here, for all my brothers, young people, and all my friends here, that all we together must believe you, that all we live by faith, because there is no other way for us to live our Christian life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.